Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Nathan Fox, that's Ben Olson. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. With us today is Eric Johansson. Eric, you're the editor of Thinking LSAT podcast. You're the editor of LSAT Demon Daily. You're a former LSAT Demon student who is now about to become an LSAT Demon teacher, and you are applying to law school this fall for 2023 admission. Is that the idea?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay, cool. Thanks for coming on the show. Eric's here because we had a recent conversation about, Eric, why don't you were just on the phone with LSAC, so why don't you just kick it off?
Yeah, sure. So this was all prompted by when I was editing at first and then later listened to the published podcast that you did with Ruth, Nathan, where you were discussing an email from a listener who was calling in about their 4.28 GPA and 177 LSAT, who was definitely not a troll in any way and just a valued listener.
Well, there was some back and forth on the comments about that one, whether it was legit or not, but.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that it is legit that you could have a GPA from your undergraduate institution above a 4.0. And the conversation you got into with Ruth at the end just had to do with the fairness of, wait, can you do that? Because that assumes that you're able to get an A+ from your undergraduate institution, which would be weighted more highly than a 4.0, but not all institutions give A+s. And when I was listening to that, I thought, yeah, wait a minute. I don't think I got A+s or had the opportunity to get A+s from where I went to college. So I went back in for both the transcript that I got directly from my school and then also looking at my LSAC GPA conversion info that was on their site. And yeah, sure enough, the school that I went to, the highest possible grade I could have gotten was an A, which was a 4.0. So that, as you discussed, strikes me as a little unfair that I would be disadvantaged. And I say all this knowing perfectly well that my GPA is fine, and I'm not trying to tell like a woe is me sob story over all of this, but it is true that I didn't have the opportunity to score as highly with my GPA as someone who went to a different school where A+s were possible.
Yeah, it's a different scale, right? Like you could have A- and A+s and then come out just as good as Eric here with all A's or whatever you have, Eric. But
yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Eric could have gotten 110% on every grade. He could have got an A+ on every exam and an A+ on every assignment and done every extra credit assignment and got nothing but perfect grades all 4 years of college. And at his school, his GPA would be 4.0 and his LSAC GPA would be 4.0 because he does not go to a school that gives A+s. Now, someone else who went to a school that did give A+s, they could have gotten less than perfect on every assignment, but still gotten A+s in some of the classes maybe. Or they could have gotten some A's and some A- and mixed it in. And even who knows, like they got a single B somewhere, but then they got enough A+s to outweigh it. And then they end up with an LSAC GPA higher than the guy who literally got perfect in every single class just because their undergrad institution offers A+s. Am I understanding correctly?
That's basically it. To give some math behind it, I had my undergraduate GPA is a 3.82 with the majority of my credit hours being A's, the highest possible grade I could have gotten at my school. I did the back of the envelope math, and if all of those A's were instead A+s, it would have bumped my GPA from a 3.82 to a 4.18. So
that's a huge difference, a 0.3, especially for grades that are, I was just reading this yesterday, LSAC was saying that the LSAT is a better predictor of law school success in part, and especially at the top, because the undergraduate GPAs that people are applying with are all very, very close to each other, right? So how do you distinguish applicants who all have a 3.82 or a 3.83 or a 3.84? So giving some applicants a 0.3 advantage is astronomical. I mean, it's taking them out of the small cluster of UGPAs, right? And putting them way above it. It doesn't make any sense. I guess we got to hear what LSAC told you.
Sure. So this, of course, struck me as unfair. And of course, I don't expect that every one of my A's would have been A pluses, and it would be impossible to know because there wasn't a 100 point scale that has been preserved or even used in the first place, I think, when I got my grades. So I wouldn't even be able to go back to my undergraduate institution and say, hey, for any of my 98s and above, can you just report that as an A plus? Because those numbers don't exist. So I called up, it started with a phone call, started with a phone call with LSAC where they immediately just transferred me to their transcript assembly service, who just checked on my GPA and then sent me back an email saying, hey, everything is calculated correctly.
You're fine. You're doing just fine. Like, right. That's not my question.
So I said, no, I know. I also have my transcript. I also have your guide for grading. I did the math. I know it's calculated correctly. That's not my problem. Mm. It's that the scale that you are using to calculate these GPAs is unfair. It's not equal. So that led to another email, and then I ended up just calling LSAC again and had a fairly good, if not productive, a friendly and spirited conversation with a person on their end who I explained the situation to. There were basically two takeaways. The first one, which was interesting to me, when I explained that, hey, this you say that you're grading everything on a standard 4.0 system, that the whole point of an LSAC transcribing people's GPAs and or interpreting people's GPAs is to standardize everything to a 4.0, which doesn't seem to be happening. And what I learned was that if your undergraduate GPA is above a 4.0, the LSAC GPA that gets reported gets cut down to a 4.0.
Okay, so it kind of fixes the problem, but we still have the same problem that you could have lower grades and then use the A pluses to offset them.
Right, yes. So on a surface level, exactly, yes. They are standardizing it to a 4.0 and that they don't report from LSAC's side anything above a 4.0. They just cut it down to 4.0. But if you have A pluses on your transcript, then you did still have that opportunity to boost any of your A minuses or B pluses.
That's hilarious. Okay, so you actually can't have above a 4.0 LSAC GPA.
According to what I was told on the phone from the LSAC representative, that's correct, that they report only up to 4.0.
So going back to our trolling versus no trolling discussion from that episode of The Daily that I recorded with Ruth, if that guy was talking about not LSAC GPAs, if he was talking about his transcript GPA, then it's legit. But if he was talking about his LSAC GPA, then it just doesn't matter.
Correct. Yeah.
Because it's going to be chopped down to a 4.0 anyway. That's one way of correcting for it, but it's still totally bogus because then you could get an A minus and an A plus and an A minus and an A plus and have a 4.0.
Correct.
Wait,
yeah,
fix it if they did it on a class level, right? If they capped each class at 4.0, if they said, oh, you got an A plus, we're going to treat that
as
an A.
If they just disregarded A pluses and turned them into A's, but that's not what they're doing. Instead, they're just like, well, because it's easier. It's definitely fewer steps. It's one step. It's just like, oh, 4 point anything gets truncated to 4 point exactly. And then that's it.
It's easier, but it's strange because they're doing a lot of complicated shit, right? They're already going in and deciding what to do about pass fail. They're going in and deciding what to do about repeats. Like, okay, just look at any classes that are A pluses, make those A's and recalculate the GPA. This isn't much harder.
No,
that's disturbing.
No, it seems clear that the only real way to fix this in a fair way is to, as you said, Nate, just disregard A pluses. When LSAC does their conversion, anything that is listed as an A plus, just count that as a 4.0. Don't count as a 4.3. Because even if you're cutting scores down to 4.0 on the final number that they report, like you said, yeah, you can still, it's easier to get to a 4.0 if you can get A pluses okay. at school, which I wasn't able to.
Well, it's easier to keep any grade point average. It's still a 0.3 advantage for everybody. It's still patently unfair, and this barely fixes anything. All this does is it makes it so that if you went to a school that has above, that has A pluses, then okay, so you can't actually get an above a 4.0, or at least you'll just be a 4.0 exactly. Okay, fine, whatever. But it doesn't fix anything because the differences between the GPAs are already so small. And if the like effective range is really, you know, especially if we're talking about these top schools, the effective range is like 3.7 to 3.95 or something like that, right? It's like, you know, the operative range is fractions of a point, tenths of a point is what we're talking about. And if you have the ability to get an A plus, then, you know, an A plus cleans up an A minus.
Anyways, so that was the fix that the representative I spoke to, who seemed knowledgeable and intelligent, did have a good conversation with her. That's what she said. It's like, yeah, we don't report above 4.0. That's how we standardize it.
That's and how we standardize it. I mean, yeah. That is not how you standardize. That's maybe how you standardize it, but that's not standardizing it.
I presented all of that. So basically all of this, I told her. I explained all of that.
Yes, you're a thinking person. Yes.
Yes. So I explained all of this on the phone. I said, look, that still doesn't help. If I had been able to boost my GPA with 4.33s from A pluses, then sure, you couldn't report a grade above. You couldn't report my theoretically 4.18 if all of my A's were A pluses, but you still would have been able to report a 4.0, which is a huge difference. And the consolation that she provided, you can maybe predict, which is, well, I understand that, but we also do pass along the transcripts to the undergraduate or into the law school. So the law schools will see your transcripts. So they'll know that this was the grading system that, and they'll know that your A's were the highest grades you could have seen. And they take all that into account.
And the world doesn't see that. And US News doesn't see that, but you know, the schools, they will.
So we know
we can just kick the can down the road and pretend like we're doing.
Yeah. So I of course responded to that. And I said, well, look, the law schools don't report my transcript on their ABA 509 reports. And maybe they take my transcript direct from the, from my undergraduate school into consideration, but that's not the number that they put on their 509s. It's the number that you send them. And basically after that, all she could say was, yeah, I can't speak to how law schools make their admissions decisions, but I understand what you're saying. And we basically, that's where it was left, was she understood all of the points that I was making, recognized them as potentially problematic, and said, this is how we do it. Thanks for your feedback.
Thanks for your feedback.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's surprising that this issue hasn't come up earlier. It sounds like it's almost like news to her. It almost sounds like they've been giving this response and people haven't been challenging it. Oh, okay. Well, you standardize it. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, if it gets changed, I'll, of course, leave. I gave my feedback on the phone. I'll follow up with their email request for feedback after my session. And I think if anything changes it or prompts them to reassess how they do this calculation, or handle GPAs, it's from a lot of people giving feedback.
Yeah. So if you have a 4.0 undergrad institution, in other words, you can't get a 4.3, maybe you should reach out to them in the spirit of curiosity and understanding, but the more requests they get, the more they're going to look into this issue.
Yeah. And by the way, if you don't know, if you're in undergrad right now or aren't sure what your transcript is, you can, of course, reach out to your school's registrar and request your transcripts. You can also go to, and this is a resource that I use to confirm how LSAC was handling my GPA. If you search for LSAC's Interpretive Guide for Undergraduate Grading Systems, you can look up your school's specific grading table and do a search for your school to see exactly what the grade conversion system is that LSAC uses with your school. Just to double check, it's a good thing to have your eye on. if you go to a school that doesn't offer A pluses, then yeah, consider reaching out to LSAC to give you feedback, because
yeah, and undergrad pre-law advisors, same thing. I mean, like, it's talk to your pre-law advisors, y'all. Like, or if you're a pre-law advisor yourself, your school, if your school doesn't offer A pluses, then you're putting your students at a disadvantage for law school admissions because of the way LSAC, or because of this system that, you know, some people get A pluses and it counts as a 4.3. Maybe this is one of the reasons why law schools weight LSAT so heavily. And it might just be that the law schools are like, well, yeah, because we know that GPA is inherently bullshit because of this and other reasons.
And the band of GPAs that you're looking at are super narrow. So you're looking at a very small band, which is highly susceptible to manipulation. Right? Yeah. Like, someone goes up a few points and all of a sudden they're at the top of that band. And it's like, well, did that mean anything? They literally went to a different school, had a different major with different teachers. What can I glean from that? And also, what else was I going to say? Oh, the predictive value of the LSAT for 1L grades is greater, much greater for the LSAT than GPA. So this is being backed up by studies. So the law schools would not be smart, I think, to rely so much on GPA. Studies are showing, hey, look, if you know someone's LSAT score, you're going to do a better job of predicting their 1L grades than you are at predicting through their GPA. And 1L grades are a great predictor of overall grades, and overall grades are a great predictor of passing the bar and all these other things. So it makes sense. It's actually starting to make sense.
Well, if you really want to get into the GPA discussion, you can start talking about grade inflation as well and what that means for someone like myself who has their
sure.
GPA from 10 years ago rather than last year, when we know that I think undergraduate GPAs have been rising at a clip of about a 0.1 per decade for the last since the 80s or so.
Got to give the students what they're paying for.
Yeah.
They're paying more in tuition, so you got to give them a little better.
Well, and I think one of the main reasons, that's a whole other
paying a lot more in tuition.
Yeah, the grade inflation thing is a whole other conversation, but I was reading recently about how higher grades correspond with a higher likelihood that you will actually stick it out through the 4 years of college.
Of course.
So if you're given someone, if you look at your GPA and think, oh, maybe school isn't going as badly as I had feared, I guess I will keep taking out these student loans that will get funneled to the school.
That's what they do in law schools too. They used to fail people out of law school, right? Like, this isn't working out for you. You're failing, and people would quit. Or they would just get failed out of law school. That doesn't happen anymore, because they want to keep harvesting those student loans. They want to keep harvesting. They want to keep milking that system for all it's worth. So now in law school, you know, you get a B. Oh, yeah, you got a B. They pat you on the head. You know, your class rank is below the 50th percentile for your school. You get Bs, and they just keep you, just keep on trucking you through, give you your JD.
You know, I was just listening to a concept the other day. It was the idea that MBAs have taken over American business and made it much more about just, you know, tweaking these numbers and focusing on the bottom line and not on the product. It sounds like the same thing in law school, right? Like, if that's what they're doing, it's like, oh, we're moving away from the professors who are like here to teach and fail someone out if they're not doing well to some accountants. At the top of the law school saying, hold up, we do these small tweaks, we can keep these people on another year or two or three, that's going to increase your bottom line. Good job, law school. You know, different people are running the show, maybe.
Since I know this has been a long, summarize what I think are the takeaways for our listeners.
Yes.
One, which is not surprising, get a good GPA. I mean, it doesn't, and that doesn't change whether you're going to an A school or an A plus school. More importantly than that, get a good LSAT score, because that's the reason I can afford to not be overly concerned about all this nonsense, because I have a good LSAT score.
Yep.
If you find out that you're going to a school that only offers up to A's and doesn't give A pluses, think about writing into LSAC to give your feedback on their conversion system.
Kindly.
Yes, kindly. And I will say, like, I did have a what I felt was a good and friendly conversation with a LSAC representative who was heard me and understood what my point was.
Sure.
The last one, I guess, would be a question, anticipating a listener question. I'm interested to hear what your thoughts are. Is this something I should write a GPA addendum about? Because I have thoughts, but I want to hear if they match your own.
I feel like it's just going to come across as excuse complaining. I would have had a higher GPA. If I had been to an A-plus institution, and my immediate reaction to that is, oh, really? Like, you would have gotten A-pluses? And now you're fighting a different argument that's not helpful. I'm not saying that's a justified reaction. It's just, that's my immediate reaction. Like, oh, I could have gotten A-pluses? Oh, really? Could you have? Like, and then I'm thinking about that. And everyone else at that school, apparently these law schools do consider this, you know, what school you're coming from. I think you're best just focusing on, the numbers are the numbers.
If you got to consider your reader, right? It's possible that some of the readers are going to just not even understand this issue at all. At which point,
they're going to be confused.
In one paragraph, you're not going to explain it to them. They're not going to understand it. Or they're not going to believe you. They don't know that you've actually done the research and really understand this issue. So you're not going to convince people who don't already know. And then people who already know. So I don't see the point of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You not getting an A-plus is not a feather in your cap. Right.
Yeah. On like the surface,
ultimately, that's what you're telling
good.
Them. You're like, hey, I didn't get any A pluses. Let me start with this. It's a very important point. I want you to know I have never received an A plus ever in my, because that's what you are, in fact, telling them. Now, it wasn't possible for you to get an A plus, of course, but still, that's what you're pointing to. And many people are just going to be like, oh, yeah, well, we have this other person that got A pluses, though. Ironically.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100%. I think I don't think a GPA addendum about this would really add anything that the school doesn't already know and could just come across as whining.
Well, yeah. And that it's like just, oh, yeah, yeah. A million. Here we go with another excuse of why your grades, aren't what they could have been. I don't. If that's a totally legitimate one. But it's just like, still, who cares? Because they are reading piles of excuses all day. They don't give a shit about that.
I feel like we've already said this, but I guess one takeaway from all this is like, okay, GPA addendums are probably just not that important. Just period. Stop bringing attention to something that's already, supposedly hurting you, if that's why you're writing it.
So. They're like, yeah, yeah. Like, do you have the LSAT? And I mean, Eric, you're showing up with the LSAT, right? And lots of other things that if they wanted to look at, they could look at those other things. You don't need to be, I wouldn't be whining about that. All right. Anything else, Eric, before we wrap it up?
No, thanks for letting me come on and share my piece.
Oh, thanks so much for doing the research and bringing us the facts. That's awesome. We're always trying to learn. We're daily at lsatdemon.com. So if you have any more intel about this, I mean, I have one here, actually. This is slightly interesting. It's a tiny little thing, but did you hear this? So we got an email from Haig that says LSAC recalculates our GPA based off our undergrad transcript and weights A pluses as a 4.33, regardless of whether your school did that or not. So instead of a 4.0 on the actual college transcript, but it says A plus on the transcript, then LSAC counts that as a 4.33 and A minuses as 3.67 instead of the typical 3.7. That would actually be a fix. We should do some more research here because that would actually be a partial fix. I mean, I don't think it's not as good of a fix. They should just not do the 4.33 thing ever. They should just call it 4.0. That's it.
I brought up LSAC's grading scheme for my college, which only goes up to 4.0. And an A minus is weighted at my school as a 3.7 and by LSAC as a 3.67.
Yeah. So they're doing that for everybody. Even if it wasn't doing it for everybody, it's a small fix, right? Yeah. Because you're adding.
No, yeah. It's only incremental and it only counts if you actually get an A minus, right? Because like, what if you got a B, it wouldn't even affect you. But if you got an A minus, okay. So, all right. So for LSAC, A minus is always 3.67 and A plus is always 4.33 if your school allows A pluses. And that's amazing, because even if your school doesn't count it for your GPA, so like you could go around and start grade grubbing to your professors going, hey, this won't affect my GPA at our school, but if you give me an A plus instead of an A, it does count for law schools.
Hmm.
Like it counts on my GPA for law schools, even though it doesn't count on my GPA here.
Yeah, the fix is to only count A pluses as 4.0s when they're tallying up your totals. But to make that decision, they would also get blowback from all of the schools that offer A pluses, because obviously the schools that give A pluses are incentivized for their own graduates to have as high a GPA as possible so that they get into the better law schools, so that they are more prestigious alums.
And my school is going to offer A plus pluses.
You know what's so dumb about the grading system?
You get a 5.0 if you get an A plus plus, and they're only available at my school. Come on. Go ahead.
Well, Ben. I'm just saying this whole thing is, I'm just, even as we talk about it, think about the increments here. The increments are 4.33, and then you go to 4, and then you go to 3.67. They're just the jumps. Like, we should just do a percentile system. Exactly. What'd you get in that class? You got a 97.6%. Boom. That's what your grade is.
Yeah. But like,
the jumps are weird.
The 4.0 scale, though, is like so addictive that apparently when the law schools actually calculate their index,
yeah, they're bringing the LSAT down to a
4.0 scale is what it seems to be.
For most schools,
At most schools, if you put in like 170 and a 3.8 GPA, then it's, that's a 3.85 student or whatever. And it's like, okay, so you guys love the 4.0 scale so much because they do give grades on a 4.0 scale in law schools. So yeah. Everybody's addicted to the real dumb 4.0 scale.
Okay, quick Google search says that in 1785, Yale president Ezra Stiles implemented the first grading scale in the United States based on four descriptions. And then he has these four Latin terms I can't read. But it sounds like that's where the 4.0 scale started. Thanks, Ezra.
Amazing.
Cancel him.
All right. I know you got an appointment you got to get to, Eric, so I'm going to wrap it up. Email daily at LSATdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.